Well, good morning again. It's a real joy to be with you here in your church this morning. I want to thank the Reverend Moody, or William as I know him better, for just allowing, I was going to say us, but unfortunately just me today, the opportunity to come and to share with you. Interesting, the Reverend Moody has already been talking about the world, about the mission, not just on our own doorstep, but around the world. And it's a real joy to be able to share with you today, not so much about what CEF is doing, but about what God is doing. We trust as we look at that together for a few moments this morning that your hearts will be warmed, that they'll be encouraged, that they'll be stirred. There's so much bad news out there, isn't there? I have almost got to the point where I've stopped watching the news on television and reading the newspaper. But today we want to talk about good news. We want to talk about what God is doing in the world, because sometimes as God's children, as believers, we can become so weighed down by what we're hearing and the squeeze on Christianity, and we hear about things like the petition that we have to sign for in relation to even our own governments and legislation and all these things. And sometimes it appears that we're being squeezed, that we're being marginalized, and yet today we want to share with you about how God is building his church and the gates of hell are not prevailing against it. And so there's a positive story, there's a great story, because it's God's work. And we thank God for all that he's doing here in Ireland and indeed around the world. And there's a lovely verse that I just want to share with you very briefly, Psalm 111, verse 2. And it just simply says this: the works of the Lord are great. And that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about the works of the Lord, not about the works of CEF, but the works of the Lord. And as we hear some of these reports, as we hear some of the stories about what God's doing specifically here in Ireland, then be drawn to him, because it's all about him, it's all for him, it's all through him, and we want him to be glorified. Let's have a look at the next slide. I'm kind of looking at the back of some of the laptops down there, so hopefully they'll be able to work with me, and we'll get through this together this morning. Just a bit about her own background. I'll say, unfortunately, Denise can't be with me, but there's a photograph of her and her little boy, Ethan. Ethan's very special to us. We adopted Ethan from Guatemala just over 4 years ago. He's just turned five now, and so we're really blessed to have him as part of our family. Next thing I want to just share about our own background is this, that the both of us were saved as children, and so we're absolutely convinced that children can be saved. Denise was saved at age six. I was age seven when I put my trust in the Lord Jesus. And so we're convinced that in sharing the gospel with boys and girls, that boys and girls in turn can also trust the Lord Jesus. Let's have a look at the next point here in our own story. We worked for many, many years as volunteers with CEF. As we were growing up, in our teenage years, we received training with CEF. We got involved in the ministry as volunteers. We worked in the five-day clubs, the camps, and the holiday Bible clubs. And over that time, God was really stirring our hearts. God was giving us a real passion and a real burden to see children being reached with the gospel, especially boys and girls who don't come to church, what we call the unreached or the unchurched children of Ireland. And we had a real burden to see them being won for Christ. And I suppose then, through our employment, which is coming up next on the screen here, I worked in the bank, and Denise was a primary school teacher. And over that time, God was really speaking and stirring our hearts to, in a sense, to leave that behind and to come into the work in the ministry of CEF on a full-time basis. And I use inverted commas, because all of us are engaged in God's work full-time. It just happens for us to be that's all the time with CEF. And so in 2001, we left here and went to Kilsimmer, the European headquarters, did our training, and we trained in the County Armagh area in 2002. And then in 2003, hopefully it's coming up here, we were the local directors in the County Armagh area. We had wonderful years of blessing in the County Armagh area. We had a fantastic committee, many young people who were engaged in the ministry with us, involved with us, a bit like we were all those years ago as volunteers. And we were just knowing God's hand upon us. Children were trusting the Lord, and there were so many things that we wanted to do. And then God asked us to again consider leaving the ministry in County Armagh. And so we left the work in County Armagh, and we became the Assistant National Directors for the work here in Ireland. And we had the privilege of working alongside Henry and Madeleine Berry for almost 4 years. Some of you maybe know that name. They were the previous national directors. And then when they left to go to Southwest Europe, They're now not just looking after one country, they're now overseeing the work in nine countries. We then became the national directors for CEF in Ireland and replaced Henry and Madeline just over, I think there's another slide there, yep, in 2010. And so just for about a year and a half, we've been leading the work of CEF in Ireland, both north and south. And it's a tremendous responsibility and a tremendous privilege. And we would ask you to stand with us prayerfully as we seek to be the spiritual leaders of the work here in CEF Ireland. Let's have a look at our next slide. Let's have a look at the big picture, if we can pop up the first one there again. Around the world, I'm not sure whether you're familiar with this, but CEF ministry is an international ministry. CEF at the moment are working in 175 countries around the world. The works of the Lord are great. What a thrill to be able to share the gospel with children in so many countries around the world. The international vision for the ministry of CEF is to be around the world in 80 years. The ministry began in USA back in 1937. And so if you do your maths, if you add on 80 years to 1937, you get 2017. And their prayer and their vision is that there would be a ministry established in every country around the world by 2017. Would you pray about that? 40-odd countries still to go or just thereabouts. Pray that God will open up these countries for the gospel so that more boys and girls around the world might hear the gospel. We're interdenominational. We work with whatever churches we can in bringing the gospel to boys and girls. We're not just working with one particular denomination. We try to work right across the board and help the local church to reach the children in their community. Let's have a look again. Approximately 10 million children every year are hearing the gospel around the world in all of these countries. The works of the Lord are great. And not only are many of these children hearing the gospel, but many of them are responding to the gospel. Many of these children are putting their trust in the Lord Jesus. Will you pray continually that God will save the children of our world? That's a good thing to be praying for. Pray for the salvation, maybe even once a week. Pray, God, save the children of the world. Someone has once said that the sun never sets on the ministry of CEF, because when we're sleeping at night, somewhere in the world, children will be hearing the gospel. What a thrill, what an encouragement. The works of the Lord are great. We've been working here in Ireland since 1950, not us personally, should add, but the work in Ireland here has been going just over 60 years now. And there's only been three leaders of the work in Ireland. David and Molly McQuilkin began the work, and then Henry and Madeline Berry, and then subsequently ourselves. And so we're thankful to God for the heritage, these fine godly leaders and workers who have gone before and led such a wonderful foundation for us newer workers to really build on the ministry that they started many, many years ago. Let's have a look and see. This is our CEF of Ireland family, if you like. There are 99 full-time workers, not all in Ireland. Around 65 full-time workers work in Ireland, north, south, east, west. Two camp centres, one in Rosnoula, one down in Kilkeel, and our national office down in Belfast. And so if you do your maths, there are about 34 of the 99 are missionaries that have been sent out of Ireland and are working in other countries. The works of the Lord are great. What a thrill to send Irish workers to places like Norway, Lapland, Sweden, Isle of Man, Zimbabwe, America, and into other parts of Europe like Moldova and Romania. And one of our youngest trainees that's just finished her practical training, God willing, in a number of months, hopes to head to Peru to begin work with CEF in Peru. She's from Belfast, so that's going to be a big change, working in a country like Peru. Let's have a look at our next one. And we thank God that in 2011, around 81,000 children heard the gospel here in Ireland. What a thrill. The works of the Lord are great. There's never been a greater time to share the gospel with boys and girls. Around 15,000 children every month here in Northern Ireland and in the south of Ireland are hearing the gospel in schools. What a thrill. What an open door. And we don't just go in and teach them sort of some sort of morals about being good. We have full freedom to share the gospel as it's found in God's word. We can talk about the cross. We can talk about sin. We can talk about what Jesus did. We can talk about what the child needs to do, similar to what I was doing here with the boys and girls this morning. What a wonderful privilege to have that freedom to share the gospel. There's something else to pray for. Will you pray that that freedom into those schools will stay open, that the doors will stay open? They could close just like that. It's much more difficult to cross the water to be able to share the gospel. Pray that the doors into schools will stay open. So that's a bit of the bigger picture, and of course the 81,000 children, you know some of the other ministries and how we're reaching children. It's not all schools. It's good news clubs, five-day clubs, holiday Bible clubs, camps. These are just children that have heard the gospel. These don't count children that would have got tracts. There are many booklets and tracts that are given out across Ireland at Christmas times and Patrick's and special occasions like that. So we thank God for every child that has heard the gospel. And some of these children too are being saved. I got a praise and prayer letter in from County Armagh just the other day from our workers. The first line on their praise and prayer letter was this: praise God, three children this week in Good News Club have just been saved. Wonderful news. The works of the Lord are great. As the gospel goes out, then God speaks and God draws these children to himself. I think of children in Dublin, in the Good News Clubs in Dublin, around six or seven children, even since just last October up to Christmas, have been saved in a tract of Hannah's Good News Club in Dublin, in the middle of Ballymun Estate, if anybody is familiar with that area. A difficult, difficult area. But the works of the Lord are great. No matter how tough, God's bigger. No matter how great the need of the children is, God is greater. No matter how difficult the children are and unruly and unsettled they might be, God is greater, because the works of the Lord are great. And he's drawing children to himself all over Ireland. And we're thankful to God for this, and we praise God for this. One of the things that I wanted to share with you this morning, just for a few moments, is this: every child, every county, every day. Now, what is this? Well, very simply, this is the vision that Denise and myself have for the work of CEF in Ireland. This is something that we've been praying over for about a year and a half since we became leaders of the work. We believe that every child in Ireland has a right to hear the gospel at least once. We believe that every county in Ireland, we would love to see every county in Ireland having a ministry going on, whether it's volunteers or full-time workers or local churches, whatever, it doesn't matter. But we would love to see children in every county in Ireland being reached with the gospel. The everyday, we would love to see Christian children and young people growing to become more like Jesus every day. That's discipleship, and that's what God's word teaches. It's not just about sharing the gospel. It's not just about seeing children saved. It's about helping these children, helping these young people to grow in their faith, to become more like Jesus. Why? Well, let's have a look at the figure that's coming up here. 1.26 million children under the age of 15 in Ireland. There are many, many more children and boys and girls and young people who still need to hear the gospel. There's a verse in John's gospel, chapter 10, verse 16, and this is a tremendous challenge to Denise and I as we think about this verse. And it simply says this: Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for night cometh when no man can work. It's very difficult to do anything meaningful when it's dark, like cutting the grass or anything for that matter. And what's this verse reminding us? Well, it's reminding us that now is the time to share the gospel while it is day, while the doors of opportunity are open. What a tragedy it would be to come back here in 5 years' time and to say, I wish we had done this. I wish we had done that. Or for you as a congregation to say, I wish we could have done more. If things are to become more difficult and that freedom disappears and the doors of opportunity become less and less, what a tragedy. Let's make sure that we're living with no regrets in the future, because we're taking every opportunity we can right now, while it is day, to share the gospel, not just with boys and girls, but as you're seeking to do as a congregation, with adults, with whoever we have the opportunity to share with. Every child, every county, every day. How can we do this? Let's have a look at the four ways that we can do this. These are the four pillars, if you like, that we need to build this vision on. We need to be sharing, we need to be training, we need to be equipping, and we need to be supporting. Let's have a look at the sharing. What do we need to be sharing? Two things. We need to keep sharing the gospel. Keep sharing the gospel. That's what God has given to us. That's the message that God has entrusted to us. And so we will keep sharing the gospel. And as we keep sharing the gospel, we look forward to what God's going to do and more lives being changed for all of eternity. The other thing that we need to share about is vision. And this is a strange one. Maybe some of you are thinking, well, what is that all about? You're going to be sharing about this vision of every child, every county, every day. Well, not necessarily that. We're going to be, and what we need to be sharing about is about the spiritual needs of boys and girls. You see, The 99 workers that we have and the 65 that are working in Ireland at the minute will never reach any more than the 81,000 children that they're reaching. And you know that there's 1.26 million. So the question is this, who will come and help? And so we need to be sharing in places like this with congregations like yourselves about the spiritual needs of boys and girls. And if local churches are not stirred up and not enthused and not excited, yours is, and I thank God for that. But if there are other congregations and churches that are not reaching the unreached children within reach, then our job is to share the vision. Our job is to share about what the Bible says about boys and girls. It's to share about that we need to be working while it's day because night is coming when we can't work. So we need to be sharing the vision. And let's have a look at the result of sharing the vision. When we share the vision, more volunteers get involved in the work. When more volunteers get involved in the work, then more children hear the gospel. When more children hear the gospel, then God has opportunity to save more boys and girls. That's what we're looking for, isn't it? That has to be our heart's desire, and I hope that that's your heart's desire as well. And this is the greatest challenge that we face within the ministry of CF of Ireland. It's the shortage or the lack of volunteer help. Not full-time workers. We're thankful to God for many workers that God has called into the work. We do need some more in key places. But we're desperately short of volunteers, people who will stand with us, people who will go to the children and share the gospel. The same couple I was telling you about in Armagh recently told me that they could open 7 new Good News clubs, but they can't open them because there's nobody to teach them, nobody to go. They've been around some of the local evangelical churches close. These are in Republican areas in Armagh, estates that we have been working in for 20 years that we previously worked in, and now the doors are opening up because trust has been built, and eventually they're telling us, will you come and have a Good News club in the community house? After 20 years. And Gareth and Lindsay are having to say, sorry, we can't teach the boys and girls, there's nobody to go. Think of another situation in Portadown in a community centre where 50 or 60 children, many of whom are not attending a local church. And when we were the local workers, we went to a church literally 200 yards across the road. They'd been trained and all by CF, TCE1 and Level 2 trained. Met with the pastor, really keen, very evangelistic, really missionary-minded. He wrote back to me 6 months later. And when I met with him, I'll never forget, a tear streamed down his face, said, Philip, I'm sorry. There's nobody to go. 200 yards across the road. Opportunity, wide open. You maybe heard the phrase before about the doors being open for evangelism, the doors being open to share the gospel. We need to kind of re-edit that. We need to do some work on that phrase. Let me tell you this morning, the doors are not open for evangelism. The doors are off the hinges. There aren't any doors. The only door that there is a lack of volunteer help to go and share the gospel. Will you pray that as we share the vision, that others will become involved in the work and take the gospel to boys and girls? Let's have a look at our next slide. Training. Who do we need to be training? We need to be training candidates, and we're thankful to God for candidates that we have in the work at the moment. You'll see the figures coming up here just now. We have 5 individuals and 2 married couples who are involved in the work full-time, have left their jobs, and are training for full-time ministry with CEF. That's not the problem. The problem is the lack of volunteers. Over the last 2 years, we've had about 18 candidates who are coming into full-time ministry with CEF, most of them in Ireland. Some have gone overseas as well as missionaries. Pray for these candidates. Pray that God will lead them. Pray that God will guide them. It's a tremendous blessing, even in times of difficulty, that God is calling out new workers. I know I don't look like 38 years of age. I look a lot younger than that. But I'm already one of the oldest workers in CEF of Ireland. Many of these candidates are even the same age or my generation or slightly younger. What a thrill to lead passionate young people who are really, really bringing the gospel to boys and girls with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. They're so committed to what they're doing. Will you pray that God will lead them and guide them into an area of full-time ministry? That practical period of training normally lasts about a year to 18 months. Many of them in the autumn time need to make a decision as to where they will work full-time with CEF. Pray that God will lead them. Let's have a look at our next one. Here's a map of Ireland. The work in Northern Ireland is split into 12 areas, but if we just look at the map this morning from the point of view of, well, just the ordinary map, you can see that a blue dot represents a worker or more than a worker. In other words, what we have in Northern Ireland at the moment is we have a work or ministry going on in every county in Northern Ireland. You look at the south of Ireland, it's a different story, isn't it? You heard Reverend Moody praying for Claire Lambert, and God willing, in a few months' time, we hope that Claire and Eugene, her fiancé, will be appointed to the work full-time in Donegal. What a tremendous blessing. So that children might hear the gospel on an ongoing basis in Donegal. Joe and Mabel Kennedy, due to retire in Sligo later in the summer, the Sligo committee, the local chairman of that committee, with his wife and family, has just left his job behind. IT has just left it behind. They're heading to Kilsimmer in the summer, and God willing, they will become candidates with a view to replacing Joe and Mabel Kennedy in maybe a year and a half's time in Sligo. There are still many, many opportunities for the gospel in the south of Ireland. You can see behind me that there are, let's have a look at how many, 20 vacant counties. Six in the north at the minute, six in the south at the moment, leaves 20. Wouldn't it be wonderful to pray that there would be 20, 20, 20? Wouldn't it be wonderful to pray that by 2020 that God would bring full-time workers into these other 20 vacant counties? Can God do that? Yes, he can, because the works of the Lord are great, and God is great, and God is more than able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Equipping. Here's something very, very exciting I want to share with you about this morning. Not sure what you think whenever you see a phrase like this on the screen. If children aren't going to church, then the church needs to go to the children. I'm not sure whether you agree or disagree with that. I hope you agree with it, because many boys and girls, even in your community here, are not coming to church. And so we have got a project that we're very, very excited about. We've got something this morning that I want you to pray about, but we also want to challenge you to get involved about. Here it comes. Let's have a look. It's simply called this, Church to Children. Church to Children. What is the project? Well, it's very, very simple. Let's have a look at the next slide. It's a little booklet called The Fixers Detective Agency, and you're a privileged people this morning. You're the first people to see this. This is just off the press on Friday afternoon. We just took delivery of the first 5,000 of these. Revival Movement, Samuel Adams, some of you will maybe be familiar with his work. We have a wonderful partnership with Samuel, not just in Ireland, but all over the world. And Samuel is printing 20,000 of these booklets free of charge. And the idea is that we come to people like William and the congregation and say, what about it? Will you be willing to take this gospel booklet into homes in your area? And that's simply what the project is. It's encouraging the local church to take an evangelistic booklet called The Fixers Detective Agency, which is fun. It's about 48 pages long or thereabouts. And we hope children will enjoy the characters and the story. It's evangelistic. The gospel's in here as well. And so it's a very, very simple project. And hopefully as you go and as you build contacts and build relationships, the idea eventually is that the parents and families and children will start coming back in here into the local church. So we're trying to equip the local church to share the gospel with the community in which they're situated. There's a couple of correspondence course lessons. There's actually a set of 5 junior and 5 senior lessons that go with this booklet. So if the child wants to enroll in the correspondence course, then they follow these lessons. And people from within the church, somebody maybe sitting here this morning, will be responsible for marking the lessons and posting out the next lessons, or maybe hand-delivering them, whatever's easiest for you. CEF have no involvement in this whatsoever, apart from basically saying, here's the material, how many do you want? If you want 3,000, you can have 3,000. Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that a good bargain? I'm always told to come up to Mid-Antrim with bargains. So there's a good bargain. You can have as many of these booklets as you want. One condition, that you get them into hands and into homes so that children might be saved as they read the gospel. Pray about Church to Children project. Here's another new exciting program that we have, a new pack of Holiday Bible Club material called Run the Race. This has been a joint venture with Go Teach this year. We're very excited about the material that we've been able to put together with them. Again, trying to equip the local church to reach children in a Holiday Bible Club setting. So this is a new pack that's been put together to try and tie in with the Olympic Games, obviously, later in the summertime. So lots of resources. Winston Churchill once said, give us the tools and we will finish the job. To do the job of evangelism, we need to be producing good tools. Here's a couple of good tools that we've just had time to share with you about this morning. Let's have a look at, again as we think about equipping. Truth Chasers Club, remember I said at the start, every day children growing to become more like Jesus. This is a new set of correspondence course lessons that we're working on at the moment called Truth Chasers Club, which again will give Christian children the opportunity to grow in their faith. We also have the Wonder Devotional books, which is another fantastic tool where children can be in God's Word every day. There's an early reader version of this available as well. You can see behind me here, this is number 5. There are 18 volumes. If there are children and you're Christian parents, get yourself a copy, get yourself volume 1 and start working your way through this devotional book with your children so that they might become more like the Lord Jesus and grow in their faith. And then there's also wondersurf.com, which is our website. Again, it's good to be able to use the internet and a modern form of media to be able to reach boys and girls with the gospel and again to disciple Christian children. So boys and girls, if anybody is still here, have a look at wondersurf.com. That'll be a really good website for you to have a look at, where you can do different fun activities and different fun puzzles and learn more about the Bible and about God on wondersurf.com. These are some of the tools that we need to be continually developing to reach more boys and girls with the gospel. And finally then, supporting. Two ways. If we think about supporting the work of CEF in Ireland and indeed God's mission right across the world, there are two ways that we need your help. We need you to continually be praying for mission. And we also need you to be continually practically giving towards mission. Now, I'm saying mission deliberately. I'm not talking necessarily about CEF here. I'm just talking about mission in its widest sense. One of the things that concerns me the most, and it's linked to the shortage of volunteers, but as I've been on deputation over the last 10 days, sharing in various prayer halls, prayer unions, church services, There's a trend developing in Northern Ireland, and it's one that we need to see reversed, and we need to see God step in and intervene. Every prayer meeting I go to, every prayer hall, prayer union that I go to, the average age is over 60 or 65. And we thank God and CEF for many, many faithful volunteers who have been serving and volunteering with us for years and years. Some Good News Club teachers for 25, 30, 35 years, still going. But you know what's happening? The Good News Clubs in Ireland are dropping. Back in the late 90s, there were around 350 Good News Clubs across Ireland. Today, 210. Now, why are the Good News Club numbers dropping? Is it because of child protection? Is it because children won't come? No. It's because people are retiring after many years of ministry, or else God is taking them home to be with himself. And there's an older generation, and they're standing looking behind them with a baton. And they're saying, who's going to pray? And they're saying, who's going to give? And they're saying, who's going to go? And at the moment, generally speaking, there are not enough people to carry the baton. And that's the challenge that we face. We need young people and young adults to catch a vision of mission, to be excited and enthused about mission, about what God wants them to do. And so we ask you to continue to support God's work and God's mission around the world. A couple of things that you can pray for us about, just, and we would really value your prayers. This is a person who's very special to us. Does anybody think they might know who this girl is called Fatima? Fatima is our daughter. Fatima is Ethan's sister. Unfortunately, Fatima is still in Guatemala. We've been trying to adopt Fatima for the last 4 years. I don't have time to tell you the whole kind of lengthy story about how difficult it has been and the hurdles and the obstacles. But we've just had good news about 3 weeks ago. The UK have finally signed off our case, and hopefully the paperwork will be on its way within a few weeks to Guatemala. Will you pray when that paperwork gets to Guatemala that God will do a miracle, that the government over there will process the paperwork and that everything will move quickly and well, and that very soon that Fatima might be able to come home to be with Ethan, her big brother. She's just turned 4. Ethan's just turned 5. There's just a year between them. And we would really value your prayer for that. I know that's a personal request, but it's something that weighs very heavy on our hearts. And so we would ask you to pray about this. And then some other general things that we could ask you to pray for. You'll see them behind me here. Church to Children Project. Pray that churches will get behind it, get involved in it. Pray for the salvation of Ireland's children. For Denise and myself, 3 things that you could pray. Wisdom, grace, and strength. Anybody who's involved in leading a ministry, these are 3 good things to pray for: wisdom, grace, and strength, and also pray that God will touch people's hearts to stand with us in the work, to support us practically and prayerfully. If anybody wants any information, if you ask me, I have a couple of packs left. If you want to receive our prayer letter, there's again a sheet just in the foyer out at the back on the table. We would really love to send you our prayer letter so that you can pray specifically, not just for us, but also about the work of CEF in Ireland. Thank you for the opportunity to share just briefly with you this morning about some of the ministry. Hopefully that'll give you a bit of a bigger flavour and a bigger picture of what's going on within the country, some of the challenges that we face and some of the good things that God is doing, and also some of the things to pray for as we go forward. I want us to think just briefly for a few moments at the close of our service about that passage that we read earlier on. I don't know if you remember the story about the wee boy who went to church and spoke for the first time with his mum. And his mum just said, look, if there's anything you're not sure about in church this morning, you just ask me and I'll keep you right, son, all right? So he came into church and the minister in the church went like this. So the wee boy said, Mum, what does that mean? He said, the minister wants us to all stand, we're going to sing. And then the minister kneeled in front of the congregation. He said, Mum, what does that mean? He says, minister's going to pray. Then the minister took the Bible and put the Bible in the pulpit and opened it up. And the wee boy says, Mum, what does that mean? He said, the minister's going to read from God's word. You need to be nice and quiet so we hear God's word. And then the minister did this and set the watch down and said, what does that mean? She said, absolutely nothing, son. I can assure you, you're not going to get a half-hour sermon just now, all right? So I'm looking around for a clock at the back, and I didn't see that. So I'm going to move fairly quickly through some of the things that I wanted to share with you this morning. So please don't panic. You'll get out in fairly good time. Let's have a look at some this passage that we read earlier on. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And I have a question for you. Here it comes. What cause are you living for? What cause are you living for? There's many things that can take your time and can take your attention. And generally speaking, the causes or the things that we live for, those are the things that we get really excited about. Those are the things that we hold close to us. Those are the things that we invest our time in, that we invest our money in. And so the question is, what cause are you living for? Here are four men in Mark chapter 2 who lived for a very, very wonderful cause. They lived for the cause of Jesus Christ. Mission. Evangelism. The thing that meant the most to them was getting this paralyzed man to Jesus. There was nothing that they were more passionate about. This was the thing that motivated them. This was the thing that drove them. This was their heart's desire, bringing others to Jesus. Is that the cause that you're living for? Let's look at some of the things that marked these men's lives. Here's the first thing we read in Mark chapter 2. They were full of love. Here they were. Jesus was in Capernaum. He was preaching. It was reported that he was there, and many people were on their way to the house where Jesus was preaching. We would say that the house was bunged. There was a big, big meeting because Jesus was there. I'm sure if you were there or I were there, we would have been there too. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been where Jesus was, to have heard God's Son teaching? And that's where the crowd were headed. And these four men were also part of the crowd that were headed to the house where Jesus was teaching. And then they see a paralyzed man on the side of the road. Now, you know and I know that the paralyzed man obviously couldn't walk. He would have been an outcast. He wouldn't have had very many friends within the city. He was on the edge of the city. And wouldn't it have been easy for these four men to have just followed the crowd? Wouldn't it have been very easy for them just to have said, well, maybe somebody else coming behind will get involved in this man's life. Sure, we'll just leave it and move on. I want to go to where Jesus is. Not these four men. Why? Because they loved this man. They were moved with compassion. Can I suggest to you that that's the thing that our hearts need to be full of if we're going to be passionate about evangelism? Love not just for people like the paralyzed man, but a love for the Lord himself. You see, these men wanted to be where Jesus was, but they weren't willing that one should be left behind. They loved the Lord and they loved the lost. That is the biblical basis for evangelism. How much love do you have in your heart for people like the paralyzed man?